Our guest conductor for this concert, Michael Tilson Thomas, has long admired the Debussy score for The Martyrdom of St. Sebastian, although he has not conducted it in performance before. In this brief conversation with Klaus Roy, he discusses the work.
Well, The Martyrdom of St. Sebastian is an enormous collection of incidental pieces, really. It was the incidental music to a play, Spectacular, of D'Annunzio's. But perhaps more importantly, it is a portrait of Debussy and Debussy's language midway along his development toward his later style. That this piece is a very haunted work. It is mostly in a melancholy and expressive vein. And I think there are inescapable parallels to the feeling and mood of Parsifal in this piece. It is a piece which relies on great beauty and simplicity of performance to achieve its effects, quite unlike much of the rest of Debussy's work.
It seems to have been done in a terribly lavish and overwrought fashion when it was first done.
The production itself, yes was production. Very lavish. But the music, on the contrary, is very, very simple and points more to the kind of musical language of the last three sonatas, for example, of Debussy. And there's a lot of influence in this work of medieval music and Renaissance polyphony and folk song and other things, and not to mention Asiatic music, with which Debussy became more and more obsessed in the later part of his life. It's so interesting to think of Debussy, the creator of all of these spectacular orchestral effects that he used in La Mer and the other pieces that are so familiar to us, and then hearing this piece, which is of such simplicity, transparency, in which really a lot of the music could be like a plain chant or like something from a medieval cloister, even though it's presented some of the time in a very big, lush, and opulent orchestra.
Debussy had a great feeling for the music of the past. He knew Gregorian chant. He knew Oriental music. He was terribly interested in Japanese and Chinese art. What about the mixture of the Christian and the pagan elements in this piece? You're dealing with a Christian martyr who protected and defended the persecuted Christians. And on the other side, you have the magic chamber and you have the court of the emperor. How does all this fit together?
I think that's understandable by realizing that in the mind of D'Annunzio and Leon Bakst and indeed Debussy and Ida Rubinstein and all of the people who were around the circle that had been the circle of Diaghilev in the Ballet Russe, there was a kind of overwhelming cloud of incense and an enormous fascination with exoticism and through exoticism perhaps the experience of mystical states of one sort or another. And this piece certainly tried to portray the emerging Christian fervor of the very early Christian church, which was so Asiatic in its origins and practice, and contrast that with the other mystery cults which were very much in vogue at that point in the Roman Empire. The one that's mentioned the most in this piece is the cult of Adonis,
whom the women in the chorus of the women of Byblos believe to be Sebastian himself, who was reputed to have been an extremely handsome youth. So there, again, the mixture of the pagan and Christian elements is strong. One reason why the piece, I think, has been so rarely done since 1911 is because the way it's come down to us, it included endless speeches and narration. What have you done to make it ripe for our concert halls?
Well, I have really reduced the narration to only lines written by D'Annunzio, which were cue lines to the musical numbers, immediately preceding the musical numbers, and also to the text which Debussy indicates should be read during the course of the music. But the other long sections of narrative where a speaker was asked to try to describe to the audience all of the things which were to have happened on stage, all of the dances and dramatic theatrical effects, those things we have eliminated. So we're left really with a work which is well, it's what, 7/8 music. It's nearly the entire piece is music. And in a few places, there are some little bridges which get us from fragment to fragment. Because indeed, this work is in the form of profound but interrupted pieces of music.
You have called it something like fragments from an ancient gospel. And you have said that you feel that there is genuine passion in this music.
Oh, unquestionably. And the parallel first presented itself to me when I thought of reading works by poets of the Hellenic or Hellenistic period, Archilochus, or even reading fragments of the apocryphal books of the Christian Gospels, or for that matter, the Dead Sea Scrolls, any of these very ancient texts where certain portions of the story or the testimony is very complete, and then suddenly there is a gap, and it picks up at another point. And of course, it's impossible to link with modern words those fragments. They have their own power and their own completeness, just
very
as they are.
Interesting in this connection is the word passion, which to us means one thing, and if you see it as the St. Matthew passion, it means something quite different. It involves suffering, and that is the other side, which of course is depicted very vividly in this strange work, neither oratorio nor opera, but a unique creation.
Michael Tilson Thomas in conversation with Klaus Roy. In a moment, the Cleveland Orchestra, chorus, and soloists perform the incidental music to The Martyrdom of Saint Sebastian by Claude Debussy.